The Cap and J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. No Shot with Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see him in my
show. Good morning and welcome in to
the Cap and J Hood.
All right, that's enough. The Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Hope that you're going to have a great Deal Breakers Thursday. We have Deal Breakers coming your way at 8:35. Dan Orlovsky will be in our next segment breaking down Justin Fields and the Bears offense. But right now, it's time for Shot or No Shot. And Shot or No Shot is brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same game live parlays. That's right. You can play live on a parlay tonight with player props and more totals, sides, during the game on Thursday Night Football. Get ready for the baseball playoffs, all at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. And if you want to bet the ponies like I do, love that sound, the Hawthorne Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We say good morning to Snorboard. What's up, man?
Good morning, boys. How are we?
How are you?
I'm ask you. My man on fire.
Should ask you if you're okay.
I am okay.
You've been trying to get the stream reestablished.
We got the stream reestablished. We got the phones working. It's a real professional radio show this morning.
Oh, stream's on?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We're back,
take
baby.
That back.
So we apologize.
There you go, Vicky and Dean and Justin and all the ones that have been writing it.
Well, so inside.
So inside, JCPenney. We want to make sure, again, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You don't catch our stream, watch the show, because we got Twitch, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
And by the way, our friend Peter from Miami, who's a diehard Bear fan.
Yes.
Cap, you and Hood are talking about putting the tape on. I have to watch this garbage again. I'd rather sit and look at wet paint dry on a wall. Two snippets they give the Bears in the red zone all Sunday is more than enough torture.
Well, he's right about that.
Yes, he is.
The Bears get no love on red zone.
No.
It's on screen two in the Hood Cave. I'm like, are they going to put the – oh, there's no offense. No one wants to see running the football on
correct.
Red zone.
Correct.
Here's Shea Norland. Shea?
Let's get to Shot or No Shot. Boys, yet another stat displaying the Bears' longtime ineptitude at quarterback made the rounds on social media yesterday. If Tom Brady had played only the seasons in his 40s in Chicago, he would be the Bears' all-time career passing leader.
And water's wet.
Yeah. Shot or No Shot, a franchise quarterback is the only thing Chicago sports has yet to see.
Yeah, that's a shot. I'm grateful, Cap, that I lived through to see the White Sox win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing because my dad didn't get a chance to see it, but mm-hmm. I saw it. You saw the Cubs win a World Series. You were right there.
Yep.
You were right there to see the Cubs win a World Series. We saw three Hawk Stanley Cups. We saw the Super Bowl, even though the memories are starting to get hazy on me now. I can't remember some of the stuff from 85. I got to go back and watch it.
The Bulls.
Bulls win their six cups. I got the Sky Championship.
Haven't gotten an NCAA basketball championship in our, I mean, Loyola won in 63. I'm talking about the modern era.
So close with Illinois and North Carolina.
Correct.
I was there in St. Louis to see it.
Correct.
So, so close.
And Loyola went to the Final Four under Porter Moser.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that.
How about this? A franchise quarterback that sends the Bears to the Super Bowl and you win it.
That would be amazing.
The guy. That's the only thing that's missing. Yeah, and people, what about Jim McMahon? Jim McMahon was skin and bones. You know, he got hurt a ton.
A ton. Remember what Hampton said about him? Monkey driving a limo.
Yes, he did say that.
What he said.
Cappy, it's a monkey driving a limo, and I drive a Chevy.
That's it.
That's what it was. On Pro Football Weekly.
That was Ham.
So I would say shot. That's the only thing that I'm missing. Yes, as a college football fan, I'd like to see Northwestern Illinois. I don't think I'll live to see that in the national championship picture.
Probably not.
But otherwise,
in the national championship? Hell no. Maybe winning the Big Ten.
Maybe your lifetime.
Doubt it.
Not mine. I'm in the back nine. So, and Cap, definitely. I'm on the back nine of life.
I'm just playing par three, number six.
That's not true. You're also in the back nine with me.
I think I'm in the gym and living the soda lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Check out early. Mm-hmm. No.
Boy, you're going to be disappointed when you get walked off the course at 12.
You know what? You're an ass, JR.
I got to go pee. Yeah.
What a jerk.
Shay.
All right, the Bears are getting their quote-unquote cavalry back in the wide receiver core, with Velus Jones active after missing time for injury and former first-round pick N'Keal Harry returning to practice with the potential to debut for the Bears on Sunday against the Vikings.
You make the call.
Not that Harry.
Wrong Harry.
The Bears have been among the worst in the league at getting separation with their receivers. So my question, and shot or no shot, just getting bodies back active will help this passing game.
No shot.
Next question.
Yeah, that's a dumb question.
Next one?
Go ahead.
All right,
a dumb question. He asked.
There's no such thing as a dumb question.
Now, don't do that.
There's just dumb people. Go ahead.
Wow. You know, I mean, that's just unfortunate there. That's an HR violation. By the way, they'll be here today.
Who?
So, my girl Daphne.
Daphne?
Yes, from the Urso? Milwaukee office. Yes, from the Milwaukee office.
Lovely person.
Yeah. You butter up now.
What I do?
Would you just call someone dumb?
I didn't call Shay dumb.
You just said dumb people.
I said there's no dumb question, just dumb people.
My email just sent, and we'll hear about that later.
Daphne will get right on that today. Go right ahead.
The Cubs and White Sox finished off the MLB season.
Stop. Oh, pack a lunch?
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying you're bigger than HR?
No.
What does that mean? You're bigger than human relations at Good Karma?
I thought we have a lunch today. Lunch is provided, Cap.
You know what?
Lunch is provided. Mm-hmm. There's a staff lunch today.
Yeah, I just saw shrinkage there. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Shay.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs and White Sox.
Pack a lunch. Yeah. HR. I'm bigger than HR.
Hoodie imitating Cap cutting into shot or no shot is a beautiful thing.
Well, sorry. I'm doing radio here. You're just reading. How about that?
Take that.
How about that?
I will.
We're just having fun here, and you're just trying to mold through questions.
We have a shortened shot or no shot today, Hoodie. I'm trying to make sure we get all of it.
Let's go.
The Cubs and White Sox finished off the MLB season yesterday. The Sox season came to a fitting end with a 10-1 loss to Minnesota, while the Cubs continued their recent winning ways with a 15-2 victory over Cincinnati. The Cubs and White Sox have been going in opposite directions in the second half of the season, Cubs setting themselves up for what could be a game-changing free agency period this offseason if they choose to spend money. So my question, shot or no shot, after this offseason, the Cubs will be closer to a title than the White Sox?
Wow.
That's a no shot.
Right now, that's a no shot. I'm with you, because the White Sox, if they have the temerity to make bold moves, have pieces to trade. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're willing to do said thing. But if they are and they spend some money intelligently, yes, they still have a wide open window to win. The Cubs? I hope so. Prove to me you're going to go get Bogarts or Turner or Dansby Swanson or Correa, Rodon, Judge, whoever it is. Prove to me you're going to spend it. I might change my answer.
Mm-hmm. 2024, I think that'll be the time for the Cubs, because you're establishing more free agents at that time. You're getting closer next year, but then in 2024, you start ringing the bell, I think. Shay.
Draymond Green got into a physical altercation with teammate Jordan Poole during a Warriors practice after a verbal spat, and the team has said that Draymond could face disciplinary action. So my question, shot or no shot, Draymond should be suspended.
That's a no shot, and that shouldn't be reported, for God's sakes. Who ran the shams to tell him, there's been a fight, I gotta tell you that there was a fight between two guys, why? That's something between the two guys. They figured it out. It's in practice with the door closed. Who reported that?
That's why if I ever go back to coaching, that guy's one of my assistants right there.
Freaking narc.
Suspended.
Nobody's business. No shot.
You're part of that soft, childish generation. Suspended.
Here we go again with the question, is your opinion? I didn't even offer an opinion.
I mean, come on, man. We're at practice.
Doctor.
It gets heated. It gets physical. We want you to play with an ant. Not that much of an ant. Stop. Come on, man.
Should have been reported.
The doors are closed. It's practice. Do it in the middle of a game? Okay, that's a different thing. It's in practice, man. We're talking about practice.
What ball boy or what assistant coach ran to Shams to tell that story? That should not be out there for the public.
Shams. Hey, yeah, this is Bobby. I'm the ball boy at Golden State.
Oh, my God.
Draymond just punched Jordan Poole.
Stop. Okay, that's...
No, if you told me he broke his jaw, it's a different...
Oh, you got to explain that one to the press.
Right.
Yeah. Broken jaw.
Yeah. What was the name of the guy we had here? Nikola Mirotic.
Yes.
Wasn't that
Bobby Portis?
Bobby Portis.
That's practice?
That's a different thing. They just got into a little skirmish.
Dan Orlovsky on Justin Fields and the Bears, next on Cap and J-Hood.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J-Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
We'll have Deal Breakers coming up at 8:35 here on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and ESPN Chicago app. Dan Orlovsky is an ESPN college analyst and NFL analyst as well. He's joining us here on Cap and J-Hood here this morning. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you guys. Hope you're well.
Yeah, we are well. Tell us your thoughts about when you watch Justin Fields on tape. What do you see?
Disaster, you know. But it's not unexpected to me. Justin's in a really difficult spot. You know, it's a very unique and challenging situation because he is running for his life and under duress, 75 to 80, and that's a very difficult place to try to operate and develop and execute. And then there's 10 to 15% of the game where everything is how you want it to be. The pass protection holds up, and a guy might. All out. And my challenge, and I got into this with, candidly, with Kurt Warner yesterday over text message, is like, well, I want him to operate this play perfectly. It's there for him. But sure, that sounds great. Like, and there's a part of that I understand, but the last four plays he's run for his life. So now he's just supposed to kind of blindly have the faith and assume that everything's going to be okay on this rep. And even if so, it is, we want him to be perfect in it. And that's a really hard place for a young kid to be in. And so he's in a tough spot.
So, Dan, I went back and watched the All-22 for like 2 hours yesterday. I talked to Tommy Waddle. I talked to Olin Krutz. I watched with another person. And what I'm seeing is they're getting nothing out of the tight end. Nothing. He's an okay blocker for a tight end. They have no number one receiver, no number two receiver. Mooney's a nice player. He's a number three. I completely agree with you that he drops back and he's got PTSD. I'm going to get, somebody was open. But he also has to be held accountable, though. There are open 8-yard routes, little two-man game on the right where he's got an easy and he doesn't make it. How do you get that fixed?
Yeah, there's scar tissue there certainly already. I think the reality, though, for me, Cap, is I don't see Justin as a ball distributor. You know, I don't see Justin as the, you know, Luke gets either play call or comes from Green Bay, where Aaron has become a ball distributor, a point guard, a catch and throw guy. I don't see Justin as that. I see Justin as way more of a, ball reference. He's a home run hit. And some of the stuff that pointing to that 8-yard route or game, I think Justin's there yet to really have that bang, bang up. Bang, bang. You know, that quick. Not there.
His cell phone's bad. Yeah. We're going to reestablish.
Yeah, we're going to reestablish. We're losing Dan. He's got such good thoughts. Justin's in an awful spot. But he also has to be held accountable when there are certain plays there. But he's right. You can't get hit 5 out of 6 and then, that one was open because he's got PTSD. He does.
Well, he mentioned that he sees Justin Fields more or less as a home run hitter, meaning that, like we saw with Darnell Mooney a couple times, the long, big passes, the bombs that he threw, that's who Justin is. If that's one read, whatever it is, if you can get the receiver the ball, I'm totally fine with it. But that's what we saw in the last game where you can see the big arm. It's not like it's a problem with his arm. He can throw the football, but he threw a couple of bombs that really went well. As we go back to Dan Orlovsky, you were talking about how you see him as more of a home run hitter, Dan. Dan, are you with us?
I'm with you guys. Yes, sir.
Yeah, there he is. You're saying you saw him more as a home run hitter, Justin Fields, more so than a throw of the football. Tell us, break that down for us.
Yeah, you know, I just don't think I don't see him, and I didn't see him like this out of school as like the catch and throw ball distributor. That's why I was so bothered with the game plan versus Cleveland last year, where it was spread him out, empty, catch and throw. He's not a shortstop in that regard. Turning two, he's a powerful third baseman that puts his foot down the third baseline and rips it across the diamond. And I would love to see more under center. Hardball play action. How many different ways can I get the three-level concepts that he's comfortable seeing and driving the ball downfield and being very aggressive? And there's the balance of Luke trying to figure that out of, you know, when you got a bad offensive line, it's easy for me to sit in my car and say this. So do we try to protect the offensive line? Do you want to get the ball out of his hands? And that's getting the ball out of his hands quickly is not something that is a skill set or trait that he thrives in right now. That's just not who he is right now. Can he become that? I would think so, hopefully, but that's not who he is. So there's a little bit of, you know, everyone needs to understand, okay, how can we minimize this offensive line's weakness? So that comes to play calling. And then, well, we don't have guys that are going to get open a ton downfield and great. So how often can we just get the ball out in space a little bit? And then can our quarterback do that stuff well? You know, there's a lot going, and that's why I said this in the offseason. It's the worst place for a quarterback in the NFL this year. And this is not Ryan Poles' fault, nor is it Matt Eberflus' fault or Dugetti. This is stuff that obviously they have inherited. It's just not a healthy place.
So, Dan, if you look at the, and I know you do, the All-22 on it, worst run defense in the National Football League, no game-breaking wide receiver. Yes, they run the ball well, but Wink Martindale put eight guys in the box, 99.9% of the defensive snaps the Giants had, and said, I really don't think you have anybody that's going to consistently threaten me, so I'm going to dare you to try and beat me, and they couldn't do it. So yeah. What do you do if you're the Bears going forward? Because I wouldn't be shocked if they lost seven games in a row, would you?
I would be shocked if they lost seven games in a row because of the way that their defense is playing. Just the way that the effort and the intensity that they're playing. Usually you play that way, the ball is going to pop your way a little bit. So I'd be surprised if they ripped off seven in a row loss-wise. That's the question that is a very difficult one to answer. What do they do? Because there's just not a lot to answer that. I can draw up plays and on paper and that sounds like, hey, this is what you should do, but can you? And I don't believe that they can. And that's why, Cap, I honestly believe this, and no one wants to hear it. The biggest thing this year is, Justin, do not get mentally broken. Mentally handle all this. And candidly, guys, I actually asked Ryan Poles this in the preseason. I looked him dead in the eye. He was great. And I said, Ryan, all due respect, there's no way that you can sit here and tell me that you expect intimate progress out of Justin physically. There's no way. And I was like, what do you want out of him? What do you expect out of him? And he looked right at me and he said, I want him mentally to handle everything. I want him to just mentally handle it all. And that's what I would expect. What can they do? They can hope and look for their quarterback in the midst of a bad situation to become so hardened and so resilient. And so I'm going to continue to claw while also not building bad habits. If he can do that this year, then you got to feel really good about going into next year with the cap space. But to sit here and tell everybody, I'd be lying to him. I'd be lying to everybody sitting here telling him, you expect Justin to get a lot better as a physical performer on the field. That's not going to happen this year.
Dan, as always, we appreciate your time. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, Dan.
Dan Orlovsky from ESPN College and Pro with us here
on the ESPN 1000, Cap and Jay Hood.
He's so good.
Some thoughts from Justin Fields. How about this, Cap? Some thoughts from Justin Fields about when to tuck and run and when to throw.
For the most part, I mean, sometimes, you know, you're going to have guys open. Sometimes, you know, you're not going to make the, perfect decision every time. And, you know, you just got to live by that and just move on to the next play.
The fact that you've been so successful scrambling, does that affect your decision-making at all?
I try not to make it, too. Look at my reads, and, if I need to get out of the pocket, just get out of the pocket.
Is that hard with human nature, knowing that, if you are running at a pretty good clip, to not pull it down there?
Not really. I think every play is different. So, just evaluating each play. If it's a certain play and, guys aren't there, of course, then I'm going to have to get out of the pocket. So, yeah.
So the thoughts there from Justin Fields deciding when to tuck and run. He wanted to do anything besides talk to the press, that is for sure.
Yeah, and if he had said, I wish they could just get these TVs turned off, it'd be parody part two.
Yes.
But there has to be times he gets back to his home in the northern suburbs and he's like, oh God, freaking Tuesday night. I got to talk to the media tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you guys want me to say? That my offensive line sucks? That I don't have a number one or two receiver? That my tight end is basically a glorified inline blocker?
Mm-hmm.
We're just speaking facts. They're 32nd against the run. Gordon and Brisker are struggling right now. Robert Quinn, I don't know if he's been active.
Well, as I've been asking you every Monday, I said, is he playing? Is he active out there?
And it's a valid point. Yeah. But then go back and look at his career. Every other year, he plays really well.
Mm-hmm.
And every other year, he's not very good. Roquan does not look great. He does not grade out very well. For a guy that wants $100 million with $1 billion guaranteed, he's certainly not earning it.
Well, Cap, everything that you've laid out equals to me a top five draft pick.
Correct.
So, which is more than likely, they won't say it out loud, but more than likely the goal for the Chicago Bears.
Correct.
The goal is for them to get younger and better and try to reshape and mold this organization the way they see fit. Look, I understand that.
Right now, the Texans look like they're going to be the worst team.
Yep.
We could have lost that game very easily.
How close it was.
And yet, I go on YouTube yesterday. I'm sitting at home, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing people tweeting and posting. Justin's operating 90% of the time, making the correct read. Then you need to go get your eyes checked. I got a brother who's an eye surgeon. He can give you an exam. Because if that's what you're seeing, you're not being realistic with yourself. Well, he's in a bad spot, but as Tommy said, to whom much is given, much is expected.
I understand. Here's how I look at it, Cap, because I don't need to. I see the same numbers you see on social media, PFF, all that. And, some of these websites and some of these people that are on social media try to shine crap. Like, I'm going to find the littlest thing to be able to show you that this player actually is worth more than you see. But I'm a bottom line guy. Did you win or did you lose? Mm-hmm. And how did you win? How did you lose? Can you get better from the loss? Can you win again after winning a ball game? It's as simple as that. To get into granular detail on offensive line play, when I can clearly see that sometimes the offensive line is like the door at the Four Seasons. Like, I can see that there's holes there in the offensive line, but I expected that. When we talk about the wide receivers and people look at this team and say this is a 10 or 11 win ball club, well, all I know is that the 10 and 11 win ball clubs in the NFL, they have talent. They're all pros. They're difference makers. More times than not, they're veterans. They have two or three of them on a roster, a tight end or two wide receivers that can make a difference. I don't see this on this roster. So sometimes it just boils down to common sense.
Mm-hmm.
As Mom used to say, common sense is not common for some people.
Correct.
And so when I look at it, Cap, is it's pretty simple. I know what this is. If you're not listening to Eberflus, don't listen to me. Don't listen to Cap. That's fine. You don't believe in what we're saying. That's fine. But the brass up there in House Hall is telling you that this is, we have a young group and we're trying to get them in a position where they can, win their positions. And we're trying to get them in the position where they can be the future of our football team. just kind of paraphrasing, but you hear Eberflus say it all the time, with woven in all the stuff that he says. Mm-hmm. It's about trying to mold and shape a team.
Yeah, and he's in a tough... I like this Matt Eberflus. I do. I think he's honest. I think he tries to answer questions. He doesn't want to reveal state secrets. I get it. That's the mentality of NFL coaches.
Sure.
No problem. He looks at his team and he goes, hold on a minute. I got a linebacker that wants $100 million that isn't playing like it. I got the worst run defense in the league. I'm playing two rookies in my defensive backfield who we like. We think are going to be good players. Right now, they're in over their head. My other corner, who's a stud, is out with a quad injury. Oh, that's not really a good combination if he can't play Jalen Johnson against Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, Irv Smith, and more. Let's go to the other side. I got a rookie quarterback who's got PTSD because he's getting the crap beaten out of him. I don't have one guy who's a top two receiver on any good team in the NFL. My tight end has become a blocker because I need help on the O-line, and he's not very good in the pass game. My number one running back is injured. My number two running back can't pass protect. Go put the tape on. Not me. Put the tape on. Khalil Herbert does a lousy job in pass pro. Good runner. And all of a sudden you go, wow, coach, how are you going to beat some of the good teams on your schedule? Okay, you eke out a win over the moribund Texans.
Well, the answer is you're not.
Right.
Yes, you're not.
That's my point. I'm hearing people, we win 9, 10 football games, get good health, 11. What are you watching?
This is what change looks like.
This is what a full rebuild looks like.
That's what it looks like. That's what change looks like.
You're exactly right.
Cap, everybody wanted Nagy and Pace out of here, and rightfully so. They did not do the job. They were underachievers. They did not do what they're supposed to do.
Correct.
So because of that, if you want to change, you got to be able to move salary. You got to be able to move veteran players that you might have liked, but you weren't winning with anyway. You weren't winning with those guys anyway.
Correct.
As much as I love Khalil Mack, what would he do on this football team? He'd get sacks and then what?
Correct.
So, I mean, that's the whole point of this. But some have not lived through this, Cap, or some have forgotten what a rebuild looks like, especially with their favorite, the Chicago Bears.
Correct, because everybody gets all geeked up once a week. We're going to watch it. They are horrible.
Yeah,
they are.
No blank.
By design.
Deal Breakers is next right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap, J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
I'm Doug Llewellyn, and this is the case of the Cap and the Yom Kippur. Different show.
Different show.
It's Deal Breakers here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We do this every Thursday on a Deal Breakers Thursday. Still to come, some thoughts about the Cubs and the White Sox as the seasons have come to an end. We'll get to that coming up in an hour from now here on Cap and Jay Hood. Just a sidebar real quick. May I approach?
Brought to you by Ankin Law. $3,126 million for the great Howard Ankin. Put that lawyer in your phone.
Sign my ball. Shay, this is for you, actually. You know, we have a lot of listeners coming by the window, right?
And the guy that held up the phone?
Yeah, did you see what it said?
I was in the middle of a read. I just knew he held something up.
You know what he put? And we love our listeners coming by, going to work or going to school,
they
whatever.
All point at their AirPods.
Somebody had on their phone, I don't know what this means, Melvin Gordon plus 125? Is that for yards? What is that for?
No clue. I'll look it up, and I'll get back to you.
Who plays tonight?
Broncos. So Melvin Gordon, anytime touchdown, maybe plus 125. That's the only thing I could think would be priced probably that way.
It was on his phone, so we could see it.
Yeah, it's probably Melvin Gordon anytime touchdown tonight.
Why would he? I mean, coming by with opportunities to bet.
Yeah, he's giving you a prop for tonight.
I'm
going to play it in a parlay just as an ode to that finalist.
Great gambling advice there. Tail the guy walking on the street with a prop on his phone.
Maybe he was looking for your opinion and wanted your advice whether to play it or not.
He was asking for a yes or no.
First of all, plus 125 anytime touchdown ain't great odds. It means they fully expect it in the end zone.
I just saw a glimpse of it, so that's what I saw. I was like, that's great. One of our listeners is coming by just throwing it out there just to help us.
Take funny. That.
All right, Shay, time for Deal Breakers. Go ahead.
All right, boys. It's going to be hard to follow up what we did last week, but we will try our best. A woman you've recently started seeing invites you back to her apartment after your third date together. You agree to go to her apartment with you, but when you get there, you discover that what she meant by apartment was a two-room space above her parents' garage. Would this be a deal breaker?
It would not.
Why would it be a deal breaker?
It would not. Absolutely not.
If you told me I'm sharing a room with her and her parents, yeah, that'd be a deal breaker. Two-room space above the garage, so what? No, absolutely not.
Yep, and I'll teach Dad a few things.
Wow.
What if they're outside having a bonfire? You're going up in the garage.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know what? There's enough line of demarcation there, Cap, in which, hey, I'm not with around her parents. We're just upstairs. Yeah.
I actually dated a girl while I was coaching at Northern.
Yeah.
Her dad was the university police chief.
Uh-oh.
She was living at home. Mm. Yeah. And she called one night and said, hey, let's watch a movie. Okay, I got to break this film down. When I'm done, I'll be over.
And then Pound Town.
Came over.
JR, don't look that way.
We're in her room watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The wall butts up to her parents' bedroom.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No shot I'm doing that.
The headboard.
Yes. The pictures were falling off the wall. In the parents' room, the pictures are flying off the wall.
I'm like, Julie, no.
Time to cap it off, baby! Take that! Bam, bam, bam!
Time for the tip of the cap!
And the second time is the recap.
Yep, the second time is the recap.
That might be the best joke you've since I've known you, Cap.
Wow. Go ahead, Shay.
All right, boys. You've been seeing a woman for a month, and you really think this could develop into a serious relationship. She texts you one morning and tells you her young son has a birthday party this coming weekend, but she's short on cash. She tells you to send $1,000 that she's short. When you ask why she expects you to do that, she says, quote, because I'm a woman you're pursuing, and me and my child are a package deal. How do you respond to this?
No. That's a deal breaker.
Wait, say...
What's the matter?
Say it again.
That's a deal breaker.
Yeah. She's $1,000 short for her kid's birthday party. Yeah. She tells you to send her the $1,000. You've been together for a month. You think it could get pretty serious? No. You ask her why she expects this from you, and she tells you because I'm a woman you're pursuing, and me and my child are a package deal.
Yeah, long gone. See ya. I'm out.
Not after a month.
Now, she came to me, and we were together, and we're... I mean... Obviously, it's progressing down the road. We're going to get serious. And she said, honey, I'm trying to put on this great party for my son for my first marriage. Can you help me with it? And we discuss it. I guess that's different. Send me the $1,000. We're a package deal. Yeah, package this. You're out.
You know what?
You're being taken for granted.
Well, you know, the problem is, Shay, in that spot, it's the month. That's the part of the deal breaker that you gave us. It's I've only known you for 30 days. And so now you want me to give up $1,000? If we've been together for a while, if I know your child a little bit more, you know, what's going on? The circumstances is what counts in that spot for me, Shay. It's the month. Say if it's a year. Okay, now we can talk.
A year, $1,000 becomes acceptable?
Depends. How fast do you fall in love or how fast do you get into a relationship where you feel, you know, I can trust her? Is it a borrow situation or am I giving, by the way?
Giving, probably.
Mm. A lot more value after a year, Hoodie.
Mm. Yeah, she could maybe put it in a bond, CD.
Yeah. So, I'm out. See you later.
So, no, after a week, no shot. Shay.
All right, you're on a long flight, and the passenger in front of you has long hair hanging over the back of their seat, so it covers your tray table. Danny. Parts of it are even getting into your drink. You ask them if they can move it, and they do. But shortly after, the same thing happens again. The hair is over their seat into your drink on your tray table. How do you handle this?
Well, first of all the way onto your drink, I mean, what is this, Rapunzel is flying in front of me? I mean, come on.
You want to see the photo? This was in the post this morning.
Yeah.
put that out on at ESPN 1000 for people to take a look.
Yeah. I mean, is it Rapunzel the one who let her hair down?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane. But, dude, I need you to keep your hair on your seat,
sure.
Danny. And no.
Yeah, absolutely no.
Not going to happen. And the third time? Excuse me, flight attendant. Could I have the scissors out of the galley, please? Because we're not allowed to bring them on.
Yeah.
Chop City.
I would I mean, say that's a deal breaker, absolutely. Because you got to say
breaker.
Something.
I think you just yank on it.
No. There's a really easy solution for this, you guys. Hmm. Oh, my gum on my tray just happened to get in your hair. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't solve the problem.
Oh, it'll solve the problem real quick.
No, what I would probably do is, dude, do you have a rubber band or a hair tie or one, or scrunchie, whatever those things are?
Scrunchie, yes.
Put it into a man bun. I'm not going to tell you a third time, Danny. Go ahead, Jay.
That definitely is a deal breaker, either Rapunzel or Crystal Gale in that spot with the long hair.
Crystal Gale. That's the other one. I couldn't think of who it was. Go ahead.
All right, that's deal breakers for this Thursday. Still to come, some thoughts about the Bears and Justin Fields and a Cubs and Sox wrap-up. The season is over. Can you believe
that?
It is? Yeah. How about that? That's who I want to talk to you about.
Sox, we're going to the playoffs.
Never mind about that. Here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. How about that?
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, we will get a chance to talk about the end for the White Sox and the Cubs. But to remind you that when we are done, it'll be Mike Greenberg from 10 to noon into Carmen Yurko, 12 to 2, Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6, and Meller and Aki will be in for Bleck and Abdallah tonight from 6 to 8 into Freddie and Fitzsimmons, all part of the mix right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Stephen Vogt, do you know who that is?
Yeah. Stephen Vogt, the baseball player, V-O-G-T?
Yes. Interesting spelling of the last name, but Stephen Vogt is retiring from Major League Baseball, and he plays for the Oakland A's. And yesterday, of course, the A's have been terrible. I mean, it's no question that they've been rebuilding
and just
bad franchise. But you know what? There was a bright spot for the Oakland A's because Stephen Vogt is retiring from baseball, and he had his kids introduce him for the last time. He has three kids. They introduced him on the PA system. And something magical happened after that introduction.
Now batting.
Our dad.
Number 21.
Stephen Vogt.
Vogt drives one. Right field. Did he do it? He did. Are you kidding me? Let's go.
Right into the Budweiser section in right field.
I got goosebumps. Listen to that.
A 94-mile-an-hour fastball, and his last at-bat hits a home run with his kids introducing him at the plate.
How old is he?
Old. Old enough to retire.
Wow. That gave me chills. Our dad. And then he hits one out. That is awesome.
37 years old and retiring.
Yep.
God bless him.
10-year career. It ends it with a big fly.
Can you name me another?
Yep.
Who hit a home run in his last at bat?
Go ahead, JR.
That would be Grandpa Rossi.
That's correct. And
what
he
a great
did it
moment
in, the
in the World Series game seven. Is there anything better?
Andrew Miller.
So pick it. Do you want that or do you want your kids there to see your last at bat? Which would you rather have, Cap?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. There's another question to that, but answer that one first. And the reason why they were playing this, I do have a question. Go ahead.
I guess my kids, that would be, because to have my four boys there and go, here's up now batting our dad, David Kaplan. Bam!
Yes.
All right, kids, we finished 37 under, but that was a cool moment. But game seven, Grandpa Rossi off the hottest reliever in the sport in the last 10 years who was unhittable. And I asked him one day, dude, how did you take Andrew Miller out? No one was hitting him. He said, because I caught him. In Boston. ball was running just a little away, and I saw it well. And I went, I know that pitch. I know where that pitch is going. Bam! Out of here. Grandpa Rossi.
Now batting.
Now batting.
Our dad.
Our dad.
Our dad.
Number 21. Number 21.
Steven
Moe.
The drive shot. Right field. Did he do it? He did. Are you kidding me? Let's go!
The question I would have for the room is, and I'll start with you, JR, would you rather have a home run in your first at-bat or in your last at-bat?
Ooh.
Now, in this situation, A's aren't playing for anything, but it was just a great moment because Vogt's kids were there.
Yep.
So, first at-bat or last at-bat?
I would put so much pressure on myself in the first at-bat that I would like to get that out of the way and just establish that first hit. I think the first at-bat would be where I would choose.
Shay?
I think last at bat, because you always want to go out on top. You can start slow. You go out on top. That's good.
Cap?
Last at bat. Like, first at bat's cool. But you get past it, and you're like, all right, I got a whole career ahead of me. Where's it going? Like, Wilson Contreras hit the first pitch he ever saw out.
David Bodie.
To center. David Bodie.
David Bodie, yes. Same thing.
I would go last at bat. To walk off, drop the bat, and go, take that. I'm out. That's cool.
I think last at bat, my last accomplishment in baseball, my last at bat now, say I'm in the seventh or the eighth, and I hit a home run, Cap, and that's it, maybe in the ninth, and I hit a home run. Sure, I want it to be storybooked to help win a ball game, but if it was just a home run with my kids and they're announcing it, I think that that'd be a great accomplishment.
Amazing.
I'll never forget my first home run. Of course, you got the baseball, but walking off, that's as good as a walk-off for the A's, mm-hmm. that moment.
Yep.
So
amazing.
Great, right?
Yeah.
A nice tender story there about a man who's retired from baseball with his kids announcing his at-bat. And you heard, by the way, the public address announcer feeding the lines to the kids. Now batting.
Now batting. Pretty cool, man. That's cool. Awesome.
Hey, so some thoughts about Justin Fields. When will you hit the panic button on Justin Fields? We'll hear from Justin and also Matt Eberflus coming up in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.